The Capital Golf Gang is brought to you by Golfdom, and the 2024 golf season has arrived. You need to get to Golfdom at any of their locations in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville and see the latest in clubs, apparel, shoes, and all the golf gear you'll ever need. Get fit for the latest club offerings at any of their locations and let the Golfdom fitters get you dialed in. While you're there, be sure to take a walk through their fabulous selection of apparel that will have you looking great on and off the course. Golfdom also offers full-service club repair to get your existing clubs ready, so get your clubs re-gripped. Check those lofts and lies, or upgrade that driver shaft. Golfdom has been in the D.C. market since 1982, but they've grown to three locations as part of the Worldwide Golf family. You can shop online at worldwidegolf.com or visit Golfdom in Tysons, Virginia, or in Annapolis or Rockville, Maryland. Golfdom, live the game.
His boy's name is Kepa, and today he had to go for 30 holes in a duel against Koepka. And here is Brooks for his birdie.
For second alone. We'll share second with Phil Mickelson. And now the stage is cleared.
He's some par, wouldn't it? Didn't even reach the fairway with his tee shot. Knock it in for a round of 69 and a four-shot win. From sunrise to sunset.
Rahm wins the Masters Marathon.
It is Holy Week for golfers. The Masters is upon us. And a year ago, gentlemen, I memorized all 18 bush and tree names for the Masters. I don't think I could remember more than four or five a year later.
Really?
So was it really memorized or not? And was it as big a waste of time as, say, practicing your putting? That said, I've printed them out for you guys today. Does everyone have their packets for today's show?
We do.
Okay, very good. All right, introduce the gang here. John Ronas, UConn Husky class of what?
91.
Year? 91 in golf, not in basketball.
Right.
National champs again. Congrats to your
Thank
boys.
You. Thank you.
John Gould, the executive director of the Middle Atlantic PGA. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
No drive, chip, and putt for you this year as a representative?
Sent him one of my staff. So he was the monitor for the boys 7-9 age group. And he had a great time. Yeah.
Very good. Buddy Christensen of Golfdom and Worldwide Golf, which we are now part of here in the store. Buddy, are you going to the Masters?
I am not this year. But I have come bearing gifts today.
Oh, babe. What? My.
Yes, I have.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable.
First, so you got the new wedges. That's.
Yep. You know what's pretty funny, Ghoul, is he pulled three items out.
Yeah, and I thought.
And you know what? I knew all three of them were going to save.
Like
I knew render, none of them were coming to us. Yeah.
Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Look at this little Cameron.
You like that, huh?
I'm taking the cover off.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's the old center shafter right there.
Custom
That's
built.
That's it.
Okay.
Custom built.
Wow. These are amazing.
That's
Thank
awesome.
You. A tradition unlike any other, awesome. Buddy, hooking me up.
Well done,
well.
Buddy.
That
By
is
the way,
a tradition come, unlike any other.
Come to Golfdom to get your, gray finished SM10 Vokey wedges in the 56 and 60 denominations. Anyone who does not go with those standard lofts are psychopaths. You 54, 58 guys and lunatics. And I got the 10S bounce and grind combination.
Perfect.
I'm sure that's perfect for you.
Yeah. All right. Buddy, you're having trouble hearing me. Let me just troubleshoot that. You're in position four.
Now I'm back in.
You're back in now? Yep. Okay. You good?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, we got to hear the thank you officially on the
record. Buddy. I got it.
Thank you. My God, you're too amazing. And then this putter, which was fitted for me at Cool Clubs out there in Scottsdale.
Which is awesome you were able to go through that. Yeah. And now let's, you know, practice with it.
Center shaft is very good for you.
Yeah. And stop saying practicing your putting is a waste of time, too.
No, practicing is a waste of time. Buying new putters is not a waste of time nor money. Right. It's what you should do at Golfdom in Tyson's Corner. Thank you very much, buddy. That's very, very kind. Okay, let's get cracking here, shall we? It is the Masters. And we start with topic number one, hole number one, Masters 2024. We've been around a long time. We're not young spring chickens.
Nope.
Is the Masters better than ever, not quite as good as ever, or is it about the same?
I don't even think I'll watch it.
What?
Yeah, what?
I'm just kidding.
Get out of here.
I think the Masters is,
Come on in, sir. We have a live fitting day. Make sure I will not let anybody here at Golfdom. Go get him, buddy.
Seriously. Who was it?
It was one of your fitters. One of your fitters. And we're by the way, we're in the central fitting bay here, the Callaway Bay at Golfdom and Tyson's Corner, and there are live fittings going on. And this gentleman popped in because he needed a shaft or a head from in here. And I am not going to let anyone's fitting be interrupted by our silly golf show.
And I appreciate that. I don't know that that was not a mistake by one
a
of our
customer,
a new.
I think it was someone just seeking autographs.
Could have been. Or they heard they were passing out gifts that
we didn't get. Yeah. Gotcha. They were bringing our wedges in.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's what they were doing.
That's what it was.
Okay. So, all right, back to the Masters.
So were you serious?
No, of course not. Yes. I say this. I think the Masters, like I think the Players Championship, and I'm trying to think of where else we have. I guess the Players and the Masters are the only two where they have the
same course,
consistently,
right?
Yeah.
I think they've evolved amazingly. So I will say that I believe it's better than it was.
Yeah, it's better. And mainly I think because we can consume more of it. So we can now have shot by shot. We have, you know, thankfully, the discussion we've had all ongoing with Liv and all that stuff, the Masters is untouched, essentially. The people who deserve to be there are there. So it's the same quality of field. And we can consume more of it. We can watch it on our app. We can watch it on our phone. We can see it 24/7. So that's why it's better.
But not Dean Burmeester. Dean Burmeester is not going to be there.
Well,
by the way,
no
asterisk
if he didn't.
Did you see that last week? The Liv announcer actually asked him, "Do you think you should be in the Masters?"
Really?
I'm like, give it. I think I should just give it up.
I think I should be in the Masters. You kidding me?
So funny, buddy. You've been to the Masters how many times?
A few.
So many he doesn't want to say because it feels like a humble brag. Right. Go ahead.
No,
a bunch. You've been a bunch. Yeah, you're our age. Is it better than ever? Is it kind of jumping the shark? Is it the same as ever?
No chance it's jumping.
No
the shark.
Jumping sharks.
But I would say they put a lot of effort into doing what you just talked about, John, with the app. That you can watch every shot.
Additional media. Masters.com is amazing with their little vignette pieces on everything.
And as traditional as those guys are, it's amazing to me that they are constantly thinking forward in this technology way, which is really awesome. You didn't think – I mean, they used to protect us from seeing the front nine.
Right.
Now they give us access to every single shot. So awesome from a consumer being able to watch it.
But the traditions have stayed the traditions.
Yeah.
The ceremonial tee shot. The par 3 contest on the Wednesday.
The
Champions dinner. The jacket ceremony.
The amateur dinner. Did you realize they had an amateur dinner? I didn't realize that, and I saw pictures of it yesterday.
Really?
That's cool.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was watching something on the 2019 tour. No, my son put it on YouTube. It was sitting on my TV right before the game was about to start last night. I'm like, what is this? I didn't realize the first tee announcement is for Steve Zabin now hitting. That's how they announce you on the first tee.
Very simple.
Very
minimalist. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Instead of now on the tee, winner of the 3M Open in Tuscaloosa. They don't do any of that.
Yeah.
They don't care what
you won. Four.
Yeah, just very simple. Four.
Yeah.
It's great.
Great.
Well, I think that the Masters is still incredible. I think it's now struggling to find its new direction in the post-Tiger era. Tiger defined the Masters for the better part of 20-plus years. Did we talk on this show about the Tiger special that'll run Saturday?
Yes, we did.
So they obviously want, you know, Tiger to be as relevant for as long as he can. But it's got to struggle to find a new path forward somehow.
You know, Zay, I'm gonna pick a little fight on that one. I actually don't believe the Tiger defined the Masters. I think that Tiger became a part of the folklore of the Masters. I believe the Masters was defined with Nicklaus and Palmer and Seve and that and the crew that
I'm
won
it. I'm not saying created it. I'm saying in the last 25 years, Tiger has meant the Masters.
You might have been the draw, but I think the golf course has always been really what the Masters is all about.
Yeah, and in the last 10 years, other than obviously 2019, he's almost been absent, right?
Yes, you know, so very spotty.
So I would even say that maybe if you said that 15-year window, you know, but we're 10 years past that, and I think it's already forged its path. It's about the golf course. One of the best things, and you say the same thing about TPC, but more at Augusta, is that everybody who watches the Masters, when they see a shot, that's the third hole.
Yeah.
They can pick it out.
Yeah. And that's timeless.
That's timeless. And probably the TPC, probably the front nine, I don't think I could do that, but probably the back nine I could. So that's one of the awesome things about going to the same place every year. You know and you remember the shots, you remember the players of that hole, and that's what makes it so awesome.
Okay, hole number two. Winner you hope for Sunday and winner you would actually put some money on.
I hope still for Rory.
Still on the Rory train, okay.
Yeah, because you know what? I think Rory needs a victory to come back to earth a little bit, that the game isn't out to get him or the PGA Tour or the Live or whatever. So I want Rory to get put in a good
back
mental.
To earth Rory.
Yeah. I would bet on Koepka. And that's because the odds are a little bit better. And I just think he's a major killer.
Okay. Who do you want? Who do you think?
And who do you think? I think we got to say non-Scheffler edition because he's obviously the prohibitive favorite odds-wise. Who I'm rooting for, of course, is Denny.
You know, sure. Danny McCarthy,
our local boy, former junior golfer on the MAPGA Junior Tour.
Man, what a
had an amazing week.
Tough
or amazing
shot.
Sunday anyway. Yeah. Last week, you know, 8 birdies in 9 holes to tie it. Thought he was going to win in regulation, and then, you know, he unfortunately has the tough shot on the 18th hole on the playoff. But who I'm going to pick, and odds wise, maybe mainly is Åberg. You know, he's hot. This is his first major. I mean, obviously, it's a lot.
Ludvig Åberg, pronounced Ober.
Yeah. And right? You know, so everybody says first major, you can't expect him to win first major. I don't know. We'd expect him to kill us in the Ryder Cup either. Yeah.
Spieth won at the same age as Ober is right now, I believe, about 21-ish and change. Yeah. So it can happen.
Jordan won on his second.
And it was his second go-around. This would be the first for Åberg, right?
First major.
Oh, okay.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not the first Masters. This is his first major. He's already played in the Ryder Cup.
Wow. Okay. All right, who do you want, buddy? Who would you bet?
So I'm in the same boat with Rory. I mean, he'd get the slam at that point. You know, he's gone through his trials and tribulations at the Masters, so I would love to see him do it. I don't think he will. If I was betting, of course, I'd take Scheffler first, but I'm kind of thinking Matsuyama's coming into this thing playing pretty well. He's won it before.
Yep.
I don't know that I wouldn't jump on him. Longer shot, I would grab Cameron Young.
Okay, nice. Three guys I would want. I'm on Sahith. Let's go Thigala.
Yep.
I'm on Max Homa. Would be amazing. His game is not quite tightened up right now. And, heck, Cam Young. Let's get this guy with the beard and the smoldering stare a win so we can, like, learn a bit more about him. And I'm not on Rory. I'm not anti-Rory.
Yep, fair enough.
I'm just not riding it anymore.
I will say the Akshay, if his shoulder, you know, and he doesn't fist pump, a lefty at Augusta can do some damage.
Yes, he can.
And he plays a cut primarily. Right?
It would be very interesting, especially now with the new change on hole number two.
Right. More on Akshay in just a second.
And Corey Connors, too. He's my long shot bet. He's done well. He's top 10 or top 5 three of the last 4 years, I think. So.
Okay. But I would bet Scheffler. He's 4-1, which is not great odds, but come on now. And then the guy, my flyer guy that's, let's say, 40-1 or better. I mean, I'd put one down on DJ. I know that DJ's not been totally informed, but, man, you're that long and you've got that much institutional knowledge about the course and the tournament, it goes a long way.
Yep. Yep.
So there you go. All right, hole number three. We're still in the Masters. New tee box. Who dis? I love saying that. New phone. Who dis? New tee box on number two, interestingly enough.
Yep.
makes the par 5 longer. It's further to the left over by where some of the magnolias were, I believe, on that hole, and it creates a much more challenging drive because the right-hand bunker on the dogleg is now very much in play. You got to really sling it, they say, to get it around the corner and down the hill to be hitting iron in there. Do you like the new tee box?
No.
Because?
No, I don't think that you should have to make these guys work it that hard.
Okay.
So I'm all for putting it back or putting the bunker more in play, like moving the bunker.
The tree limbs on the left also kind of penalize the faders or the cutters if
you
see that angle.
I don't think you can fade it.
Probably not.
I think you're going to have a lot of three woods on that hole, like on 10, and they're going to try to work
shape
the
it with three
wood as opposed, because you can use the hill there.
Okay.
But no, so I don't like that, actually.
All right.
Yeah, I do like it. I just, you know, once again, we're pretty, it's 7,500 yards now. And
it's incredible.
You know, but if you really think about some of those holes, even the holes that are, you know, longish holes, they're coming into short irons because they can shape it and catch the speed slots. You got a lot of those at Augusta National. So I'm all for it because, you know, you can hit a bad shot on that tee ball for sure, but if you hit it left of that bunker, it's going down to an iron to the green. So I like a little more challenge.
Buddy,
I'm indifferent. You know, I think it's fine to do that. I mean, last year that we moved 13 back, right?
Yep.
I think that's a cool one that's a totally different shot. This doesn't seem like some of the stuff I read on it doesn't feel like a totally different change. I know it changes a little bit, but it doesn't feel like it changes it that much. So I'm fine with it, but.
Okay.
I'd be fine without it.
All right. Is there a hole that does need a new tee box? They've already made a longer one on 13. This is now the longer one on 2. Some of them, I think number 5 is or 4 is the dumbest par 3 ever, but that's fine. It's their flowering crab apple 240.
Yeah, that needs a new tee 30 yards ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
They
so
have them
so
for,
does
the,
five.
For the members, sir, but we don't go play those.
So does 5. 5 is a bear.
495 on number 5, Magnolia.
And remember that uphill.
Uphill,
and
yes.
That green has that big slope in the middle, so wherever they put it, if you're not precise.
It's a turtleback green with a hidden bunker in the back. Yeah. It's crazy.
That usually plays the hardest hole.
Hey, yeah, it does. Yeah. But, hey, we got to challenge these guys. I'm all for it.
View behind, on number 4, behind 3 green is an awesome place to sit for a while because 4 is a hard par 3.
Yep.
Hard,
oh,
and
yeah.
Then, and then 3's a short hole, but it's hard. The green looks like it's less deep than this mat here.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool angle to see some things. So I don't know. I like all the holes.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Hole number 4 of our 18 holes of golf chat today on the Capital Golf Gang. Soaring ticket prices and outrageous hospitality. There's a new hospitality center that the Masters owns called the Map and Flag, or the Flag and Map, either one of the two. Yep. It's not even on the property. It's a little bit down the street.
So yeah, in the parking lot across the way.
Yeah. It's part of a shopping center that the Augusta National bought for like $26 million a few years ago, and they've converted it into a high-end, week-long hospitality for the high rollers. Care to guess, John Rodas, what it costs for a week of hospitality, badge, all the food and drink you can eat, and the luxury of their little setup for the week?
I'm going to go with $18,500.
Wow, you're really close. 17 grand.
Really?
Yeah. 17 grand. Now you go, oh, I'm there for 7 days. You still... $3,000 a day, for God's sake.
Luxury. You just flew in on your private jet to get there, so I don't know. They're not worried about it.
Meanwhile, the ticket price for Wednesday's practice round, reportedly on the secondary market, StubHub, Ticketmaster, whatever, up to $3,500 plus. They say it's almost double last year's price. And to quote the great Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice here. Not a game, not a round.
Especially Wednesday.
Especially
practice.
Wednesday's worse because it's a par 3 contest.
So here's my question. Is going to a bucket list sporting event like the Masters, which used to be what I call for the average guy or the working man a, you know, scrimp and save once in a lifetime deal, has that now detached and floated out beyond even the reach of an average guy? Because $3,500 for a practice round, come on now.
Yep. Yes, it has.
And why is it? If that's the case, why?
Because it's supply and demand, and unfortunately, you know, the real fact is the rich have gotten very rich as of late, and the other people have gone along just normal. But the ultra-rich have gotten really rich.
Post-pandemic, the separation has been incredible.
And the stock market and everything else. So,
and they're willing to pay whatever
it
takes?
Yeah, and they just want to stick their chest out. And, you know, I went to the Masters, and I paid $12,000 for this. And it's a shame because
– And I rented a house for the week.
Yeah, the plumber out there who plays on Saturday mornings every, you know, at the municipal for $45, he can't do this. And you know what? That I hate to say it, and I'm sure there's plenty of wealthy people that will appreciate it too, but that guy would appreciate that day there more. It's a life changer for that guy. He doesn't need to go tell his friends that he went to the Masters. He just can remember that for the rest of his life. So yes, it's a shame that that's where we've gotten to.
I would say too, though, you are pointing out the two highest ways to get there, right? Getting it off the secondary market and the extreme luxury of the flag and map. Whatever it's called.
Put the flag and map aside.
Yeah, yeah. So
just a practice round ticket secondary market. I mean, you're not going to win the lottery most likely. So how else are you going to get to go see one of the wonders of the sporting world, Augusta National, in full bloom?
What I was going to say is there are ways to do it that aren't that way. It's not often. It's the lottery. It's knowing somebody.
What if you don't know anybody?
Well, you win the lottery. Eventually, someone wins
eventually?
The lottery.
Eventually?
Yeah.
Eventually, someone wins.
Yeah,
May not be you.
What are the odds on that? I mean,
oh, I know they don't release the list.
They release
how many
the
people
odds.
Are on it.
And you may not win Wednesday. You may win Saturday or something like that. Not that that's wrong with that, but
yeah,
still,
I would say in many cases that's better. All I'm saying is it's not completely impossible. But yes, it's a shame that it's gotten so much. But it's strictly supply and demand.
And this is a non-Tiger Masters.
Mm-hmm. That's what we were just talking about. I think you asked Ronis and I, it doesn't matter if Tiger's in it. The Masters is the Masters.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And Tiger doesn't drive that number. Maybe
Buddy,
on Sunday.
Buddy, your thoughts.
So, I mean, one other consideration is you get a Wednesday ticket, you could have a washout day, and you bought your ticket for the day. I was there 1 year. We were in Berkman's, which is kind of a luxury.
Oh, it's yeah. Berkman's is another. That's on property.
But, yes,
by high-end hospitality.
That was the
yes.
luxury.
Yeah. And it's
I like, think it's still it's still better than whatever this map and flag is. Okay. Got to be. Because at Berkman's,
property.
They actually have putting greens.
Yeah. No, they have replica greens.
Of real grass.
Of the right side of number 14, and then you it morphs into the middle of 17 into the it's a really cool thing, and you get welcomed by Lynn Swann or Condoleezza Rice, a member. Peyton Manning was the last time I was there,
right?
Saying here, but anyway,
Buddy Rolls, see, he's the high roller. He's going
to
be at the
it's good guy to know.
But we go, we're having a drink or eating breakfast before we go onto the golf course. And they have a thunderstorm come in. So they say, you can't go on the golf course right now. So we have a place to be. Well, everybody else has got to kind of, if you're not in there, you've got
to
kind of scuttle to a place. So then they turn on the sirens. You can go back on the course. We literally walk on the course for like half an hour, and then the sirens go on again. They go back. We're like, all right, we'll hang out at Berkman's. They go, we are shut down for the day. Mm. And by shut down for the day, we mean everything.
You got to leave.
Berkman's, I don't care what.
Wow.
So somebody may have spent thousands and thousands of dollars for that one day would have seen like half an hour of the golf course.
Crazy.
So that is
no rain checks.
No rain checks.
No.
No, you paid, you're done.
Roll the dice.
Yep.
It just seems crazy. It's too bad because it seemed like the Masters, along with a number of other activities or things, could have been scrimp and splurge for the average man. You're going to scrimp, you're going to splurge one time in your life to go. It's starting to really get out of control. I think one of the reasons Wednesday is so expensive, though, is they allow cameras.
Yep.
And so you can get those assets you want. Hey, look, you're in the fifth grade.
Not with a phone.
Not with phones, though. But you can get cameras, though. So at least there's that.
The other thing that they kind of held on to is the price of the sandwich, of the Coke, of the beer. Like, very, very reasonable. So it is kind of a weird
thing. Well, that's what they
thing.
Control. And they don't control the secondary market.
Right. Yeah, they
there's nothing
the
they can do.
Secondary market.
You know, because the actual ticket price for the day is like $100.
Yeah.
So that's well below the market value, obviously.
It's actually gone up a bit.
Has it really?
The actual price,
okay.
But yeah.
All right. Hole number five, Vern's last call. It's going to be very sad that Uncle Vern, the great Vern Lundquist, will be calling his last, not just Masters, but his last sporting event. He's finally retiring from everything. He's already hung it up from football and whatnot. I would argue, and I don't think it's an argument, that his call of Tiger's chipping, the in your life, is not only the greatest Masters call on television of all time, it might be the greatest sports call of all time.
Was he also yes, sir?
He was.
He was yes, sir. Yeah. He also called the kick six between Auburn and Alabama. He has been almost like Forrest Gump at every key moment in sports. You're like, what's Uncle Vern doing there?
Crazy.
And the answer is making it even more awesome is what he's doing.
Yeah, sure. he created
your thoughts on Uncle Vern.
I think he's the greatest golf announcer ever. And he's going to be missed. And like I said about Tiger last week, let's just be happy that we were there when it happened.
Yeah, it's going to be weird because, I mean, we all think of the 16th hole for Vern. I mean, it's not like he was the overall broadcaster. Nance's been doing that, right? But we know if something happened to the 16th hole, that was Vern. And so next year, I don't know who's going to
Who's going to be on that?
But that is some shoes to fill right there. They're going to sound terrible no matter who it is.
Better not be Smiley Kaufman. Better not be cocktail hour on the 16th with Smiley Kaufman, you know, joking around. By the way, do you like that segment they're now introducing with him?
I like it.
On Friday's Happy Hour with Smiley and Company?
Yeah.
It's not terrible, right?
No. Yeah.
Something new.
And Dave, you know, we're losing all our, you know, we grew up.
I know. We lose all our favorite announcers.
Who's left, really? Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, Nance is still doing golf, but that's not it.
Yeah, he was just very – he was towards the end.
And again, the thing about with these former players or whatever, they're now making so much money playing that they don't have to go into the broadcast booth. Yep. So we have to let him go.
Yeah. All right, hole number six, Tiger's fading presence. He did arrive at the club first thing. I think might have got there Sunday, as I saw some reports. He's going to hope to play his body if it cooperates. Hope to make the weekend, but his odds are 150-1. Even last year, his odds were a lot better than that because a lot of people wanted to still bet some money on old Tiger Woods.
I think actually Tiger recognizes in seeing a couple of the press conferences and things, I think he recognizes that his skill set is now almost not worthy to play in the Masters anymore, and he's trying to not take away from the tournament
itself. Not worthy to play at all?
No, to play.
Okay.
But I think he knows that
he's probably not going to compete.
So he doesn't want to ever take away from the Masters as a tournament. So I think he's been very subdued. And maybe that's more of a ninja way of, you know, calming the field into thinking he's got no chance. But he's been very subdued.
So we're recording this on a Tuesday, and Tiger had his press conference this morning. And I just saw, I didn't watch it, but I just saw some quotes from it. And he did say, everything has to come together for me to win here anymore. You know, so if everything comes together, I think I can win one more. So he's positive, and he says, you know, I think I can do it. But he did admit, you know, there's no B game that's going to help him do it. He's got to be on everything to do it. But, I mean, he's going to be ambassador for sport. They tried to ask him the question about honorary starter, and he shut it down.
Yeah.
No.
Sure.
You know, he's not even thinking about that, which is, you know, kind of tells you who he is as a competitor.
How old is he now?
48.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he should have said, I'm 48.
Right.
Would you stop with that?
Not 78.
That's 20 years from now, minimum.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the appetite we have to go watch Tiger is kind of diminishing, too, a little bit, right? We're enjoying watching him.
There's a lot of people still starving for him.
Yeah, but he went to Riviera. It just felt like, hey, that's cool. Tiger's playing this weekend. It wasn't like, I got to go watch Tiger.
I think because we knew it was not necessarily.
I think you're right, buddy. I think it's like a beautiful cake sitting on the table every single day, but almost every time we know someone's going to take it away.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have it.
I think it's
look
a cake.
At it.
I think it's a model cake.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those cakes that's not real.
Eventually,
you can't eat it.
Just like, it looks great, but
looks
I know
great,
I can't
but
eat
I know
it.
It's not a real cake.
Yeah.
I can't eat it. All right. Hole number seven. Hear me out on this. I got a drive, chip, and putt idea.
Oh, boy.
It's a wonderful event, by the way, and I enjoyed watching it. Tirico does a great job with Peter Jacobson and whatnot. Hear me out on this. Why aren't these kids playing the back nine for their drive, chip, and putt? Why are we not letting them on the course? And why don't we let the kids, hear me out on this, Ghoul, you're already looking at me skeptical, why aren't we letting some kids announce the kids playing the back nine at Augusta? Let them navigate Amen Corner. I mean, it's fine that they're doing the drive, chip, and putt, but it gets a little bit repetitive. Let them lay the back. Okay. I'll drink my water while I listen to you guys laugh
mind.
In my face.
You are completely out of your mind.
Are you not aware that this is a private club?
Yeah. Let me just tell you this.
Why, our junior program is not fully up and running just
yet. I believe you're a genius. I believe that.
Do you like that idea?
I love it.
Now that you've tried the idea on.
Let me throw the parameters out there. There's going to be an age, because the drive, chip, and putt gets very young.
Yeah.
There's going to be a little age, so maybe it's 12 or 13. And here's the caveat.
I don't want 12-year-olds playing. I want 8- and 9-year-olds.
Okay. All right,
to me, the 12 and 13s, buddy, they're already, especially the boys, they're starting to really grow up, and they're mashing it 275. Right. I'm like,
do like Riverbend three holders.
I get jealous for those kids. I'm like, but you don't deserve. You're already privileged. Get out of here.
Here's the deal. There's no parents allowed on the golf course.
Parents would kill themselves. they would parachute in from a C-130 just to get
allowed.
There. They'd burrow under the fence line just to get there.
See in a couple hours.
Imagine that. My 9-year-old gets to play Amen Corner, and I can't even see it.
Beautiful.
Oh, it'd kill him.
Yep.
You would kill some parents.
Yep.
You know
It would be the marshals would be Condoleezza Rice and Peyton Manning and whoever else. Those would be.
So, buddy, they let Dude Perfect on Amen Corner. So I guess that's going further than letting these kids.
Let
some
of the tykes out there be so adorable.
We had the Augusta National Women's Amateur. I mean, that's we're getting there.
I know, and it was a thrilling finish, by the way.
But I actually come down to almost what you just said there. These kids are already all so freaking awesome, and they have so many privileges because of their ability to play the game. I would be so mad if they played and I didn't.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be like, come on.
That's too much.
Yes.
That's too much. Okay. Well, we'll workshop it further.
Yeah,
hole
workshop.
Number 8, the live factor at the Masters. We have 13 players from the Shorts and Boombox Tour playing in this year's event, a mixture of guys who still have eligibility due to majors they won recently and or world ranking standings that are holding on by a fingernail or the fact that they are special invitees or just past champs. They are, in no particular order, Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio Garcia, Terrell Hatton, DJ, Brooks, Adrian Meronk, Mickelson, Joaquin Neiman, John Rahm, Patrick Reed, Charles Schwartzel, Cam Smith, and Bubba.
Yeah.
Of those 13, how many can win?
There's probably 5 on there.
5?
Have a chance of winning. I mean, DeChambeau, it's a par 68. So that helps for him.
He says it every year.
He's got a good chance of winning.
And he shoots 80.
No, you got Koepka, I think.
Rahm, Koepka, DJ. Mickelson's odds are way down. I guess he's playing terrible.
Yeah. Smith.
Okay. Cam Smith. Bubba's kind of shot.
No.
Schwartzel's a nothing.
No.
Reed's not playing good, but
faded.
He usually plays good at this tournament.
Neiman could be dangerous. He was white hot to start the year. Meronk is sneaky good, but he's not going to win. Hatton fits the profile. Age and experience.
Yeah.
I saw somebody comp him, but he runs way too hot.
Yeah.
No guy that runs that angry is going to win this event. You need patience and calm. And then Sergio is
He stinks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's the
lead. I think we came down with 4.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Final hole here on the way out on the front nine. The amateurs that get to play in Augusta are allowed to stay in the Crow's Nest, which is the little miniature apartment sitting right atop the clubhouse. At Augusta National. Is there a greater stay and play in the entire world of golf? And if the answer is no, which it is, what is the second best stay and play that you could think of? Like, I got to stay here, wake up, and walk out and play this course.
Crow's
a lot
Nest.
Of these,
okay, go
Crow's
ahead.
Nest is one. A lot of these places, high-end places, have cottages on property.
Right. Yep. Crow's Nest 1.
Yeah.
Number 2 would be stay in old Tom Morris's house apartment
on
and
St.
play St. Andrews.
Do they rent it?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. I'll talk to somebody. Buddy. Buddy probably has been there. It's like, I've only stayed.
There. Buddy actually has
I've only stayed there 6 times.
Yeah, right.
No, nope, not at all. No, I don't. I mean, there's some of these clubhouses that have a place upstairs.
Yeah.
That
Congressional
cool.
has some houses.
I had no idea Congressional
Secession.
Had rooms in there.
Rooms.
I've stayed at Secession and played right out there. Oh, that's nice.
Because that's on an island, right?
Well, it's on. It's yeah. It's down.
It's on Dufusky Island, is it not?
Correct.
So yeah. So you might. Who wants to leave the island when that's
this
where you're
all
playing?
All above my pay grade.
Well, let's
one day, little
let's make it our pay grade.
I have no connections.
Let's go.
No connections.
Yes, you do. He's sitting on the end.
Yeah, that's right.
Butter him up.
And it's not us.
All right. Coming up as we take a break here, the back nine non-Masters topics, including Nelly Korda rolling and Akshay Bhatia winning in a thrilling playoff. You're listening to the Capital Golf Gang here, plausibly live from Golfdom in Tyson's Corner. Hey, thanks for listening. You know, I want to take a minute to thank Buddy Christensen of Golfdom and his new parent company, Worldwide Golf, for being the exclusive presenting sponsor of the Capital Golf Gang. You know, my connection to Buddy and Golfdom runs deep. As the original form of this store was called the Washington Golf Center, and it was located in a nondescript loading dock behind a tire center in Tysons. It's where I remember buying my first ever TaylorMade bubble burner. True love. Since then, Buddy worked there as an employee and eventually bought and sold the store, but the legacy of Golfdom, now in its new location, lives on. It is a store filled with happy, helpful employees who both know the game inside and out and love it beyond all reason. And they have every single thing under the sun to help you enjoy it even more. So, if you love golf, and I know you do because you're listening right now, please take a moment to visit any of the Golfdom stores in the D.C. area, from Tysons to Rockville and now Annapolis. Now, back to the podcast. We are back. It's Masters Week, Capital Golf Gang. Zabe here with the gang, John Ronas, River Creek, as well as John Gould, CEO of the Mid-Atlantic PGA, and Buddy Christensen, our host here at Golfdom. So, hole number 10, we go to the back nine, non-Masters-related topics. Akshay Bhatia wins in a thrilling playoff after nearly blowing it at the Valero Texas Open last week. Denny McCarthy, local product, he's going to win at some point. He puts sure the ball is. Too well not to. Closed a huge gap late on Sunday, but then in the playoff dumped a wedge into the water. And then Bhatia apparently separated his shoulder high-fiving after the game.
After regulation. Before the playoff.
Yeah, because he was all pumped up, and he was like, oh, my shoulder.
Yeah, my arm.
Skinny, skinny kid with a great backstory as well with his fiance. But yeah. What'd you make of last week's tour event?
Well, and I would say he did make a bogey or two coming in, but to say he blew it is not the right terminology.
He had a six-shot lead.
Well, yeah, but
McCarthy reeled him in.
Yeah, 8 birdies in 9 holes, yeah. Right? I mean, right. That's pretty impressive. And then Bhatia had to make a, I don't know, 11-footer to tie him on 18.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, he obviously played wonderfully all week. He was on cruise control, and, you know, he birdied the first two or three on Sunday morning, so he went from a little bit ahead to a lot ahead and was there the whole time. And then, you know, our boy Denny, you know, I thought he reeled him in. I really thought he had beat him on 18. I didn't think Bhatia would recover from that. So credit to Bhatia before the fist bump on, you know, making that putt.
Well, I mean, he had a 5 or 6 shot lead, yep, and shoots 3 under from there on out. You would think that would be plenty,
yeah,
right?
That's
and then
right.
I saw one bit of it where they said he writes on his wrist before the round.
Oh,
and
does
he put W2W or WTW. Wire to wire is what he wrote for his message that day. Huh. So I got to imagine you're sitting there going, all right, wire to wire. I got to, you know, 2 or 3 under, I'm golden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did that.
I was out playing, and one of my guys in my band, yeah, I played like, I got something going on at the golf course. And one of my band members wrote, would you tape it or hit the shot? I'm like, but I'm out here playing. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, you must be not watching the golf. And then I immediately turned it on, my YouTube TV, and saw what was going on. And it was that was also the controversy this morning. I was talking to Rock Cartwright. He was like, you know, what do you think? Should you be allowed to tape it? Should you not be allowed to tape it? Is it like fixing your equipment right in the middle of the round? Should he have had to hit the shot? I mean, it's interesting stuff.
Tape what again?
His shoulder.
He had his shoulder.
Right. So
yeah,
he got the KT tape. They brought in the physio. And he actually walked off the golf course. They went to commercial
after his drive.
Yeah, you're
yeah, no after
you're,
his second shot.
You're allowed to. I think you're allowed to get physio and get tape like that.
Yeah.
Right?
So I mean, the rules.
But he
say
was asking
after
whether
after
or not
his drive
after his second shot before
after his
wedge
shot.
In
after,
the middle
and after
the
McCarthy had dumped it in the water.
Oh.
So okay. After McCarthy had dumped it in the water before he hit his third shot, that's when
it's
he brought the physio in. They had called him. They showed, you know, they'd called him on the radio, and the guy was waiting behind the green, and then, you know, all of a sudden he needed him right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rules allow for it. You know, as long as there's no undue delay of play.
Yeah, right.
He just went to commercial, came back, and he hit the shot.
Now, if he had done that before McCarthy chunks it in
Water
and he does it, boy.
Yeah, I agree.
How about the better story, which is his lovely fiance, one Presley Schultz is her name. Okay. The skinny golf dork has got, he's landed himself an absolute dime. Look at her. And apparently he did it by sliding into her DMs.
Nice.
Isn't that great? And he did it even before he had won anything or made any money. So that's a huge win right there for skinny golf dorks worldwide. And, you know, she's got a bit of a social media presence there. This story I'm reading about her is like, well, we don't know really everything about her per se, but we know a few things. And he's got this photo of him proposing to her on his Instagram account. There they are. In a vineyard somewhere, and he's got a Callaway hat on backwards as he gets down on one knee.
He knew he was going on social media. Yeah.
She apparently doesn't really golf. She doesn't really necessarily like it, but she caddied for him when he won the Web.com Tour event, I believe, or the Corn Ferry, it's now called.
So, one story I was telling my family when we were talking about this, you know, so he's young. He's 22.
He didn't go to college.
22. Yeah. Something like that. He cannot rent a car.
So,
what do you do on tour when you get the courtesy car? I don't know. I think they
25.
Probably get it. But certainly not when he was on the buy.com when there's no courtesy cars.
That is so funny.
So, you know what he did? He rented a truck from Home Depot every week.
That's $20 per 90 minutes.
I don't know what the weekly charge is. I don't know what the weekly charge is, but they don't charge you extra for 25 or under.
Hey,
and he figured it out.
Delivered mulch on the side.
Just go win. just win the tournament and you can pay for it.
That's great. What a great story. Hole number 11, Nelly Korda is rolling. Four in a row. And this time it was a match play event out in Vegas. Still, she's got it going on. What a story for, you know, an athlete who had a blood clot that sidelined her last winter for quite a while.
Yeah.
She back.
And, you know, great for the women's game, American, you know, because I'm sure that it, you know, what am I saying here? But I was going to say that we have the largest audience, but I don't think we have the largest audience. But it's great that American's number one in the world for us. It is great, that beautiful girl, beautiful golf swing, and I think a little bit of a pit bull, great for the sport.
Absolutely. You got to be to win four
times. And match play, it almost counts as multiple wins because each one of those is a tournament, right?
Yeah.
And she
in its own way,
beat all comers. So that's because that's the one that you would expect would trip her up, right? Because one bad match and she's out. It's not like she could do a bad three-hole stretch and pick it up, you know. So
and she crushed in the final, right? I mean, I was going to watch it, but I saw she was up like
four or five up.
So
great.
Pretty cool.
All right, hole number 12, the yips. So I got this putting device I made in my basement, just a little platform with a hole in it so I could see the ball fall in, collects in a little box of balls. Just it's very therapeutic, you know, just roll them great down there. You know, it's all just 6 feet long. That's it. Just roll them in. First round of the year in a game that I play at Maryland National where it's putt everything out, even the tap-taps, which I like because that's proper golf, and that's the way it is. First hole, I had a 1.5-footer for par, and it barely got scraped in. Second hole, I had a 2-footer for par, and I missed the entire hole. And I missed it again coming back because I was so shook. Now, I did settle down after that, and I made, you know, some pretty good putts. But then again, on 17, another simple 2-footer, maybe 2.5 feet, and just yacked it. Of course, that time, I had my eyes closed. So that was one of my yip combating things is you can't yip what you can't see, in theory. So I was reading this article about the yips, and it was written by a club pro who is in California. And he talks about how he's worked with a number of people, including, Joe Parent, the author of Zen Golf, one of golf's leading voices in performance psychology. And he said, the yips are the crescendo of hope and fear. He said, it resonated with me because I could feel that millisecond just before impact when my hopes of executing a good shot are hijacked by a seemingly uncontrollable yip in my hands.
Yeah, it's crazy to watch, actually.
And he has the chipping yips.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So that's a whole separate issue right there. So what are your thoughts, Mr. Ronis, about chipping yips?
Well, it's exactly what you just said. There's a fear that it goes into, and then it turns into a neurological movement. I mean, ultimately, it's a movement, right? It's a physical movement. So what I try to do is identify there's a signal being sent from the brain that makes something happen, whether it's right hand, left hand, or whatever it may be. So the first thing I try to identify is where it's throwing that bad signal to, and then eliminate that. So if it's left side or right side, and then I try to eliminate it with a grip or something like that. But having said that, it's very, very difficult to watch because someone could actually, even if they're yips, they could make a decent stroke, and then after the stroke, it is total, total nightmare.
Really?
So it's a tough one, but usually we get through it, and it's – usually get through.
I always thought
usually.
This, I always
he thought, said he's been working on this for 17 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I always thought the show was therapy for Zabe, and now I know it is in fact therapy for Zabe. But it's funny because, you know, I've seen people, I don't even want to say the word, you know, putting like that, and I just say, can't you just take it back and go through nice and slow?
Why are you
doing that little move there?
And back it's and through.
It's not controllable.
No,
so.
It isn't. And it's really weird.
So this other quote is from Jason Kuhn, founder of Yips Free.
Oh, dear.
A program that helps athletes, mostly golfers and baseball players, overcome the condition. He said, I believe the yips happens to very self-aware, intelligent people. Hey.
This is why you read the quote.
He says they are very aware that there is a threat of disaster.
I don't like even talking about this.
See, that's the thing. Right. They also talk in this article about how nobody even wants to talk about it. You want to pretend like it doesn't exist. I've taken the opposite approach. I will talk about it because it is my therapy.
Investigate it.
And and what they say is, you know, everything that can be everything you confront can't necessarily be conquered. But nothing you don't confront can be conquered. So in other words, if you're going to try to conquer it, you got to confront it.
Fair enough.
I like it.
I used to say that about going over bridges.
Yeah. And?
Still not going over.
Yeah, especially now. Yeah. Not in Baltimore anymore.
You got evidence now.
Still can't
hole,
go over.
Hole number 13. Guys you just love playing with. Does everyone here have a guy that they'll play with occasionally where you're like, you know what? No matter how we play, no matter what course, what the weather, I get along great with this guy on the golf course.
I love, love, love going to play with my teammates every year. I play with Dave Tiedemann, who's the director of golf at Shelter Harbor, and one of my other teammates, Rich Pepin, and it is
old Pep.
Yeah, Pep. It is the Teeds and Pep. It is the best day of my year. I love the guys. Yeah, I was teammates with them. I'd play with them every day.
Yeah, I actually am fortunate that I have a lot of people in that category, so I'm not like naming names, but and honestly, most of them are PGA professionals. Now that's I work for them, and it might sound like I'm blowing smoke, but that's their job. To make you feel comfortable playing golf, and a lot of them are really good at it, right? So playing golf with some of those guys where they know I stink and they cheer for my good shots and they accept my bad shots and we just talk about, you know, what's going on in the world or sports or whatever. So I'm very fortunate that I have a lot of people in that category.
Buddy, you were out in the cold Saturday, opening day at Westwood. How was that? Fun? Cold. Freezing?
Cold, windy.
Wet?
On top of everything else. With a couple of yips. Instances.
I thought you weren't talking about those.
Exactly. We weren't saying it.
Well, you brought it up.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay.
I've got a lot of good friends that I really enjoy playing with, and you know, I do two trips out of the year, or maybe a few more, but two that I go on every year, and that's with some really close friends of mine from college, and just look so much forward to it. Not even about the golf.
It's not about the
camaraderie
golf.
And the stories you get to tell and all that good stuff.
Yep. Hole number 14. How much do TV ratings matter for the game of golf? There's a story I read about how this is a dangerous week for the game of golf when it comes to the TV numbers because they've been down 15 to 20% this year. And if the Masters, the signature golf event of the year that gets the highest ratings of all the majors, if that's down too, does that mean something larger?
I'm just not into the TV ratings personally because I just watch my kids consume things in such a different way. And I also watch the junior golfers and the 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds who got hooked during COVID. And I think the game is as healthy as it's ever, ever been. So I think it'll work it out. I think it's a commodity that's going to maintain itself regardless of the ratings.
You're running tee times today at River Creek on a 73-degree
6-10.
Tuesday. 6-10.
Yeah.
Book that's solid. Incredible. 6-10, Tuesday. You're going to get four holes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we often get confused by when we say industry and we mean PGA Tour. Right, I don't think the industry cares one iota what the ratings are because the industry, as Ronis just said, is healthy. Now, the PGA Tour might say, eek, you know, our next TV contract,
yeah,
we're going to get all these purses up to $20 million and $25 million. We need the TV contract as part of that. That's kind of how the whole thing gets built. And our competition with LIV, I'm sure a few of those people's sphincters are a little tight.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the industry, no, I don't think – And honestly, the tour players who should care, they don't care.
No.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So they're just expecting the money's going to appear somehow one way or the other.
Yeah. Right.
And I got to imagine the Masters with all these different ways we can consume it now may be affected by some of that
from
a TV rating standpoint. You're also at the mercy of, you know, who's going to be battling on Sunday.
Yeah.
For a little bit. It won't be Tiger.
500 different channels. I mean, so the ratings don't mean what they used to because, as what Rona said, you either watch it later, you watch it on YouTube a month later, you don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
But we can all agree, as you said, the health of the sport is just on such a great ground right now that, you know, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, it's too popular. It needs to cool down a bit for my liking. But, you know, I'm not in the business like you guys are. I'm the guy waiting for a 6-10 tee time.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Okay, hole number 15. What is the ultimate golf photo? Once upon a time, and probably still is considered to be the greatest golf photo, Ben Hogan's one iron on 18 at Marion, which has been framed and posted up in the Golf Hall of Fame, and they got the club from it as well at Marion, I believe, still encased in glass somewhere.
Yep.
That's a great one. Nicklaus with his tongue out and the putter raised on 17 at the Masters in 86, before Vern's.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay. I didn't know this photo existed till just this week. Apparently, the USGA tweeted out they found a photo in their archives of Bobby Jones surveying the land at the old Berkman's Nursery, which became Augusta National Golf Club. And here's the photo you're looking at right here. Him standing astride with his knee-high boots and his overcoat on top of some logs and just strewn trees and whatnot with a rolled-up probably site plan and routing plan in his hand. Wow.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Wow, what a photo this is.
The vision.
I want to frame this next to whatever part of the course that is on. I don't know if they know exactly what that became of those trees that were felled, but it speaks to the vision of the man and the vision of the place that this is where it began. This is awesome.
And a part of the game that we don't take for granted because we have Andrew Green on the show, but the artistry and the vision of architects, I think, is something that we kind of take for granted a little bit because that's the palette that these athletes are painting on. So that's just as important to the game than Tiger.
I'm standing astride these logs. Yep. I'm going to create a golf course.
Here will be Augusta.
I will invite the finest linksmen in all the world, and we'll carry on traditions.
Yeah. And everyone's standing around going, you're crazy. Yeah,
and we're almost 100 years later now.
Ronis, you kind of said exactly what I was going to say. Just it's one thing to look at a course that's laid out and see the path and go, you know, I think I would have gone left there. I would have done this or I would have done that. But to start with that, where it's felled trees and a nursery, and you got to do the whole thing. The vision required is unbelievable. But I do want to nominate another photo for when we're talking about golf photos. The photo, remember where Tiger was hitting out of the rough? I think it was at an Open, U.S. Open. And the photographer caught the ball right in front of the lens. Like he hit it right at the
With the guy with the silly
With the guy in the background
the cigar.
With the cigar that looked like Harpo Marx and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
It was a quality.
That's a good
photo.
Goofy one.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't bring up the John Daly hugging his second wife with the streaker running behind him.
That's a good one right there.
You know, there's a photo of Mac O'Grady having a lesson with the great Seve Ballesteros or vice versa on the beach in Padrona, Spain.
Were they burning things in the
desert? No, they were on the beach, you know, like hitting two iron flop shots out of sand. Wow. It's crazy, crazy photo.
That's the life of a golfer, right?
You can Google that one right there.
No matter where you are, you can possibly have a lesson.
Certified lunatic, Mac O'Grady. Great guy, though, but a weirdo. Yeah. And Seve Ballesteros.
It's crazy.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go quick because we're almost out of time. Sun setting. Hole number 16, Rahm regrets 2.0. We already talked about this a couple weeks ago.
This is another show entirely.
Yeah. I mean,
it really
72
is.
Holes? This is the comment we're talking about?
I mean,
he keeps talking about how, you know, I thought me leaving might have changed the dynamic, and he's a little bit frustrated with how slow things are going. And here we are another week down the road. There's no live PGA Tour merger.
And I'll make this real quick. He now knows the only reason he went is 100% for the money, and nothing else is going to happen with the sport because he went to live. Yeah, it's just a money grab.
Yeah, and I think he thought it was the tipping point to make him change.
He said that.
He might have been the tipping point to make it not change.
Well, now he wants it to be 72 all events.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
And I bet the Saudis and Norman and the other players are like, no.
Yeah, we got 54 all over this
stuff. More money, less work. What are you doing?
And this tournament is going to bring that all up again, too, unfortunately, because of that. So, you know, that's the disappointing thing that we're dealing with right now in golf.
All right. There's a new hole number 17. There's a new ball speed record in the world. It's set by Sam Attanasio, and it's a ball speed of 241.7 miles per hour, not 241.6, which I guess was the previous number.
Hey, come on. Watch this, Joe.
I saw it. I mean, it's just
the dude that comes in and smashes the iron.
I mean, come on. Who cares?
The first comment on Twitter is, "Yeah, but can he putt?"
I
don't mind it though. I don't mind anybody pushing the outer limits of the game of golf, even if it's something dumb.
And the previous
like ball
record
speed.
Holder, who's Kyle Berkshire, is a local and a student of our friend Bernie Najjar up at Kays Valley. So I was kind of rooting for the record not to be broken, but the whole point is that's in a studio. I mean, who knows what that thing is?
Yeah,
who's
calibrating?
Who calibrated that? I mean, I could say I broke
Trackman
record.
Trackman calibrated.
I'm going to do it right here. And
you don't trust Trackman?
If I swung nice and smooth.
I'm sure my guys could get me 0.2 more miles per hour somehow.
Yeah. Well, if you're buying a new set,
exactly.
For sure they'll get you 0.2
goes
more.
3 yards further. It's worth it.
All right. Final hole real quick. My Masters hypothetical. If I offered you the chance to play Augusta National once in its springtime prime with everything blooming, say the week after the Masters, or you could have one lifetime badge to go to the Masters the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Cool. Give us the answer.
We have this question every time. I'm going to play it.
You're going to play it once?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we ask this
same thing
every year.
I ask this every year. Different version of it, though.
No, you're unbelievable.
It's a different version every year. Maybe I'm going to ask it until I get the right answer.
Yeah. It's the question's been asked 30 times in a different way. It's amazing, Zabe. Like, I am very
What's
proud
the better
of
Masters
you.
Hypothetical, then?
No, there is not. You're amazing at doing this. It's great. But my answer, again, is, and a great way of framing it again, but my answer is to play it.
Okay, am I not... should I work harder on how to phrase it so it's more interesting? Is there a better hypothetical out there?
I'm commending you at how good you are at framing the hypothetical.
You would have to say, can you play it for a second time or get the Masters?
No, he couldn't say anything.
I think I said 1 year you could play it, but with a rental set that was poorly fit.
Yeah, or left-handed or something. And they're all been good. I mean, they all been good.
But the answer is
still the same. Has been so far.
We'll play it.
Keep working on it.
Great show. Let's enjoy the Masters. Special Capital Golf Gang 30-minute post-round recaps Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. Saturday could be a bit later. It's my daughter's birthday, so we're going out to
happy
dinner.
Birthday.
But we will recap the Masters every day of the week. Buddy, thanks for having us. Mr. Gould, Mr. Onus, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Capital Golf Gang presented by Golfdom. We will see you Thursday night right here on the pod. Hey, thanks for listening. You know, I want to take a minute to thank Buddy Christensen of Golfdom and his new parent company, Worldwide Golf, for being the exclusive presenting sponsor of the Capital Golf Gang. You know, my connection to Buddy and Golfdom runs deep. As the original form of this store was called the Washington Golf Center, and it was located in a nondescript loading dock behind a tire center in Tysons. It's where I remember buying my first ever TaylorMade bubble burner. True love. Since then, Buddy worked there as an employee and eventually bought and sold the store, but the legacy of Golfdom, now in its new location, lives on. It is a store filled with happy, helpful employees who both know the game inside and out and love it beyond all reason. And they have every single thing under the sun to help you enjoy it even more. So, if you love golf, and I know you do because you're listening right now, please take a moment to visit any of the Golfdom stores in the D.C. area, from Tyson's to Rockville and now Annapolis.